their necks to watch. Through the windows of the metropolis's new soaring skyscrapers, secretaries and executives broke the monotony of the emerging corporate culture to steal a glimpse. All gazed with a conflicting mixture of admiration and jealousy, as a widow might when studying a passing wedding party. They were drawn not merely by the boat, but also by the event it clearly represented. Most who noticed the boat were too far away to hear the joyous sounds of the band aboard, or to see the festively dressed passengers talking, running, and dancing on the decks. They didn't need to see it, for the scene was easily imagined. 1,000 or so people were aboard a chartered steamboat. This specific group, a church, a charity, a club, and the occasion, an anniversary, a wedding, an annual outing, mattered little. Nor did the particular destination, though most likely this northbound excursion was headed for one of the many recreation areas along Long Island Sound. If it was like most outings, the day would be one long, endless round of food and drink, dancing and games, and for the few who knew how, swimming. Later that evening, the steamer would return bearing a load of sunburned, overfed, and exhausted revelers, not a few tipsy from the plentiful drink. On this day, those aboard such a boat were the lucky ones, the ones able to get away, even if just for 8 or 9 hours. None were more aware of their good fortune that day than the 1,300 souls now cruising up the East River. Most were German immigrants or their children, members of St. Mark's Lutheran Church on Manhattan's Lower East Side. Some of their number had scrimped, sacrificed, and saved their way into the middle class, and a few were undeniably rich. The rest were working-class folk, the kind of people who appreciated every second of leisure time precisely because they had so little of it. They'd spent the previous 364 days anticipating the 17th annual St. Mark's outing to Locust Grove on Long Island, and the day had finally arrived. As the steamer's twin paddle wheels clawed at the water and propelled the vessel on its journey, they could be seen dressed in their best outfits, moving about the vessel or gathered in clusters, chatting excitedly about the fabulous weather. Everywhere little children scurried to and fro, while a group of teenagers began to dance to the sounds of the German band. Hundreds more crammed against the steamer's railings on all three decks to drink in the urban panorama slipping slowly past. For many, it was a rare, perhaps even first, detached glimpse of the city that overwhelmed them day after day. Even though the unspoken theme of the day was escape, most were unable to take their eyes off the cityscape. No doubt many were struck by how calm and quiet the city seemed from the river. The familiar sounds of everyday life, clip-clopping horses, pounding hammers, grinding machinery, bellowing vendors, were barely audible on the river, especially aboard a boat humming with the drone of its engine at three-quarters throttle. Already the excursion was having its desired effect. They were slipping, however fleetingly, from the gravitational pull of their chaotic, stressful urban world. One by one, the relentlessly ordered streets passed by. 14th Street, 23rd Street, 34th Street, 42nd Street, and so on, as if measuring the progress of their flight. With every passing minute, their eyes drew in the enormity and complexity of their city. One moment, endless rows of tenements, much like their own downtown, came into view, the next a cluster of upscale brownstone mansions. In the foreground, along the water's edge, they saw familiar collections of seemingly ancient warehouses and counting houses, vestiges of a fast-disappearing waterfront economy. Beyond them loomed the future, dozens of skyscrapers, newly opened or nearing completion. Those first 15 minutes aboard the steamboat put before her passengers their city in all its confusing, contradictory glory. New York was a city of hope and despair, of fabulous wealth and crushing poverty, of limitless possibilities and unimaginable pitfalls, of traditional old world values and relentless, almost pathological newness. Every day, the people of St. Mark's struggled to survive amid these competing forces.